Good to see everybody here this morning. Okay, several things here. I've got the books available, and so Cabrera's, I'll give you yours after church, and Barga, I'll give yours too. So anyway, have those ready. Use them. This is basically all the sermons we heard on our discussion of what is the true church and what about denominationalism. All those are compiled in this, and so it's something you can use in your studies. You can use it to teach others. And so do that, because the devil has done a great job in deceiving billions upon billions of people into thinking that they are right with God, where the Bible says they are not. And so we want to look at this subject this morning, how to be right with God. And there's really only one way to be right with God, that's to have our sins forgiven. Because as long as we have sins, we're separated from God. Isaiah 59:2 tells us our iniquities, our sins have separated us from God. And so the only way we can be right with God is to have our sins forgiven. So this morning we're going to have a very plain, simple lesson. How do people get their sins forgiven? And of course, if you listen to the people in this world, in the denominations, they'll tell you different methods and different things, but that's not right. When we follow what the Bible says, we know that's going to be right. And so we need to see about that forgiveness. And so we're going to look at two categories of people who need forgiveness. The first one is the alien sinner. In other words, this is a person who has never acknowledged Christ, who has never come to Christ, has never been baptized into Christ. We're going to see what the Bible says about forgiveness for them. How do they receive forgiveness? And of course, that's the main thing, getting your sins forgiven. But then you also have to live a life that's acceptable to God. So, in terms of forgiveness for these non-Christians, first of all, they must have faith in Jesus Christ and God. Without Jesus, there is no salvation. And they have to go through Jesus in order to get that salvation. So as John 8:24, Jesus said, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am He, ye will die in your sins." John 8:24. And then Hebrews 11:6, we're told that without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So that's what we have to do, is to seek Him. And then Romans 10:17 tells us how we do it. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So Romans 10:17 tells that. And so these people must repent of their sin and put it away forever. That's a problem with a lot of people. They don't want to give up their sin. They don't want to give up their lifestyle. They don't want to give up the fun that they're having, or the perceived fun that they're having. They must stop whatever sins they are doing. And that's everybody. They have to stop the sin. And so Jesus said, "I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." That word used for repent basically means to change direction. And that's what it means. Some people want to say, well, it's being sorry for what you did. Well, that's part of it. But the idea is, you're sorry for what you did, but you're going to keep doing it? No, that's not repentance. That's not changing your heart. You got to realize, what I did was wrong. I'm not going to do that anymore. That's the idea of changing your heart and changing direction. And Acts 17:30, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." God requires everyone to repent. And they must make a confession of their faith. In other words, "I believe Jesus, the Son of God." Jesus said, "Everyone therefore who shall confess me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven." And that's in Matthew 10:32. And then Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. So after confession of this faith and repentance, one must be baptized for the removal of these sins. Acts 22:16, and now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Then Acts 10:47, Peter said, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. We also realize, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Mark 16:15-16. And then, as Peter was given the speech on the day of Pentecost, says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's Acts 2:36-38. So the alien sinner becomes a Christian. They are added to the church, as we read there in Acts 2:47. And, of course, there were many baptized that first day. And so the church has grown ever since, constantly growing. Every time we have a baptism, the church grows even just a little bit more. And so this person becomes a Christian. But honestly, sin is still a part of our lives. We all deal with it. We all face it in different ways, of course. But we try not to. You know, Paul talked there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that, well, I'm trying not to, but the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And my body's telling me I want to do this, and my spirit says you better not do that. And so we're at war with each other. They're at war. That's what Galatians 5:16 says. The spirit is at odds with the flesh. And they war against each other. The flesh wants to indulge in the works of the flesh. And the spirit wants to do those things that are righteous in the sight of God. And they're both inside of us and gives us a lot of conflict within ourselves. So sometimes we give in to the temptation. We give in and we sin. And so no matter how long one remains a Christian, sin will still be a problem. As long as we're alive, we're going to have to deal with it. And we're going to be tempted to turn our back on God, to turn our back on doing what we know is right. And that's always going to be a problem for us. And even though they've been forgiven of their past sins through baptism, they still need to be ready to repent as necessary. As they realize, I have done wrong. As we go through the Bible, we're going to see a lot of people have acknowledged the fact that they have sinned. And that's one of the biggest problems, I think, today, is people are not willing to admit that I have sinned. I mean, it demonstrates to others that, well, they had a weakness. And we don't want people to think that we have a weakness. But let us go to the scriptures and see some examples. What about these new sins that they commit? That's right. That can still condemn us. Just because our sins were washed away doesn't mean that we can continue in sin. He warns about that in Hebrews 10:26. If we continue to sin willfully, there no longer remains a sacrifice for our sins. So we've got to get rid of willful sins. We've got to get rid of sin in our life. And maybe hopefully we feel bad when we realize I have sinned. What do we do about it? Well, we have the privilege of asking God to forgive us. So they don't need to go through and repeat the process they already went through to get forgiveness. They don't have to go through, repent, confess, be baptized again. Because they're a child of God. They have a relationship with God. So what do? They learn the terms of forgiveness for erring Christians. And I think it's important we all know these terms. It's very simple. There's different terms for forgiveness for the Christians, but it still involves much the same process. When you think about it, we're going to look at some examples showing the proper and correct attitude in dealing with our sins. First of all, yes, we need our faith. There's no question about that. We need to hear the gospel message, which hopefully convicts us that we have done something wrong, and we want to change that. We have to have a change of heart because we have sinned. We need to change direction that we're going, and we still need to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord, but we don't have to be baptized again. We're going to see why. And as Paul reminded them, we learn from the Old Testament, the things written beforehand were written for our instruction, that we might learn from them. So let's look at some people in times past and what they said about forgiveness. And to confess and acknowledge our sins is vital. You know, sometimes we don't want to do that. We're stubborn. We just don't want to tell people I made a mistake, or I got involved in a trespass, or I did something I shouldn't have done. We don't want them to feel or think less of us than what we want them to think about us. So we sometimes just keep that hidden from them. But we know we can't keep it hidden from God. So let's notice this for a minute. See, we got many examples in Scripture. Notice it says, Exodus 9:27, and Pharaoh sent and called for Moses, and Aaron said to them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and my people and I are wicked. And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. Now, therefore, if it displease you, I will turn back. Numbers 22 and verse 34. Many others have did this. Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. I mean, this verse here would fit in with many of our lessons that we preach from this pulpit. And that's right. Sometimes we just want to go along with the crowd and not make waves. So we kind of allow them to dictate to us how we're going to serve God, instead of listening to God. David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. 2 Samuel 12:13. It's this situation here which caused David to write the 51st Psalm. And he recognized his sin and how the Lord had taken away his sin from him. Now, Nehemiah, when he heard about the destruction of Jerusalem and the gates were in disarray, he was very sad. So he went to the Lord in prayer, says, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. When we say our prayers, we need to remember that we need to have our sins forgiven. Most of us do that on a regular basis. Sometimes that's the only thing we get said in our prayer before we fall asleep. But still, Lord, forgive me. I mean, that's why we have the privilege of asking Him to forgive us, providing that we are ceasing the sin. Now, if we're just going to continue sinning over and over, it's going to be a time when that's going to run out. You know, if somebody came up and kicked your dog and said, oh, I'm sorry, you might let them do it once. That second day they kick your dog and they say, oh, I'm sorry. That third day, you're going to stop them before they do, right? You know it. You care about your dog. Now, if it's your cat, you'll probably let them do it. But you cat lovers out there, can't stand cats. But anyway, we have to acknowledge that we have sinned. See, I said, Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. This is what we need to say in our prayers. We need to say, Lord, I have sinned. I've sinned against you. Sometimes our sins are against others, and we need to go ask their forgiveness as well. just doing something wrong to somebody and going, Lord, forgive me, I did something wrong, and leaving that alone, that's not going to cut it. We've got to get there as well. And so we understand that. In Micah 7 and verse 9, says, I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. Until he pleads my case and executes justice for me, he will bring me forth to the light. I will see his righteousness. And Matthew 27 verse 4, saying, and this is Judas speaking, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. So he threw the 30 pieces of silver down, went out and hung himself. But he says, I have sinned because I betrayed the innocent blood. Luke 15:18, the prodigal son. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. So we need to acknowledge our sins. Teach me what I do not see. If I have done iniquity, I will do no more. Now here's the attitude of Job. He was right. He didn't think he had done any sin that would cause all the calamity came upon him. He wasn't really sure why. His three friends were quite adamant about the fact, well, you sinned terribly, so you incurred all this misfortune. It's because of your sin. I haven't done this. In fact, the very first chapter and the second chapter of Job, it says, and Job did not speak evil of the Lord with his lips. And so he didn't sin in that. And so he's suffering and he doesn't know why, but his friends are convinced he's done something wrong. So later on, when he's addressing God, God, if I have done iniquity, if I have done sin, I don't want to do any more. And that should be our attitude. If we have done sin, which we can all be honest, say, yes, we have done sin, I don't want to do anymore. We make it a goal. That means we have to change the way we live. That means the way we behave and act. And so Aaron said to Moses, oh my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us in which we have done foolishly and in which we have sinned. Yeah, Aaron should have known better, but he fashioned an idol because the people said, make us an idol. And so they threw all the gold in there and he crafted the idol for them. And so that was recounted there in Numbers 12 and verse 11. Numbers 14, and they rose early in the morning and went up to the top of the mountain saying, here we are and we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned. Therefore, Numbers 21:7, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Remember that? The fiery serpents came and the serpents bit somebody. They would die unless Moses could come up with a remedy. He came up with the bronze serpent that he lift up. Anybody who'd look upon it would not die. But see, here's the problem with the children of Israel. They're getting punished. They know they're getting punished, and they want relief from this punishment. So then they're willing to come up and say, Lord, we've sinned. But see, it was in their heart already. Sin was already in their heart. It was there. Moses died. Joshua took the people into the land of Canaan. The moment Joshua died, the scripture tells us, and there arose a generation that did not know God. They didn't learn. They didn't respect their God. They just didn't want the punishment that he was dealing out to them. All right, Judges 10 and verse 10, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, saying, we have sinned against you because we have both forsaken our God and served the Baals. See, you forsake God, then what's left? Well, there's all these idols out there. And so they joined with the people of the land and started worshiping these idols. And this right after Joshua had died, so the judges come along. And of course, the first judge was Othniel, the son of Caleb. And he's there, he comes up and he delivers the people because they gave up on God, started doing their own thing, then all of a sudden somebody started persecuting them. They started pointing to God. Oh, Lord, they're picking on me. How often do we do that? We get busy involved with things of the world, then all of a sudden something bad happens. Lord, why aren't you helping me? Because our heart is not set on serving God. That's why. And the children of Israel said to the Lord, "We have sinned. Do whatever seems best to you. Only deliver us this day." This is Judges 10:15. Another evil had come up because they digressed. This is like 40 years later, and they stopped serving God again. And so he sent a problem their way. In 1 Samuel 7, "And they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water, and poured it out before the Lord. And they fasted that day and said there, 'We have sinned against the Lord.' And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah." And that's true. This was a constant problem they had back in the Old Testament. The children of Israel were always sinning against God. But yet they would come and ask for forgiveness. 1 Samuel 12, verse 10, "They cried out to the Lord and said, 'We have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and served the Baals, the Ashtaroth, and now deliver us from the hand of our enemies, and we will serve you.'" So the enemies come up upon them. And this is what God promised through Moses. He told them back in Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26, he told them, "If you don't serve me, I'm going to send calamity your way. I'm going to start off with drought. I'm going to start off with pestilence. I'm going to start off with the locusts. And I'm going to withhold the rain. And then I'm going to send your enemies against you to strike you down." And now these people, finally, after all this has happened, they turned their back on God a long time ago. Now, all of a sudden, they think they're going to die. "Oh, Lord, save me." They're ready for salvation then. And the only way they know that's going to happen is, "Well, we have sinned against you. There's no doubt about that." Now, whether they were sincere in making that statement, I don't know. Just look at their history and you kind of wonder about that. 1 Kings 8:47, "Yet when they come to themselves in the land where they were carried captive and repent and make supplication to you in the land of those who took them captive, saying, 'We have sinned and done wrong. We have committed wickedness.'" I mean, they talked about this. The prophets told the people that if they didn't change their ways, they would be carried off into captivity. And finally, when the people were allowed to return, they would acknowledge, "Yes, Lord, we've sinned against you. That's why all this happened." Psalm 106, verse 6, "We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly." Generation after generation, he's talking about, they have sinned. Isaiah 64 and 5, "You meet him who rejoices and does righteousness, who remembers you in your ways. You are indeed angry, for we have sinned. In these ways we continue, and we need to be saved." We all need to be saved, no doubt about that. Jeremiah 3:25, "We lie down in our shame, and our reproach covers us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth even to this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God." So that's so many people are under this situation. Just getting forgiveness, that's one thing, but then obeying the voice of the Lord our God, obeying God's word, following the Bible, I mean, that's also included in this. Jeremiah 14:7, "O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do it for your name's sake, for our backslidings are many. We have sinned against you." See, Jeremiah did a lot of praying to the Lord. And a lot of times, he's just trying to save them. The Lord says, "I'm done with them. Wipe them out. I'm done with them. I don't want anything else." And Jeremiah said, "Oh, no, give me another chance, Lord. Let me speak to them. Let me speak on their behalf. We've sinned. We know we've sinned. Just don't do this evil you're planning." He did that so many times, God finally said, "Shut up, Jeremiah. Not another word. I've made up my mind. I'm going to punish this people, carry them off into captivity, because they will not obey my voice." So that's what he had to do. Finally, once again, verse 20 of chapter 14. "We acknowledge, O Lord, for our wickedness and the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against you." Now that's one thing. Notice this. We have sinned. We have sinned. We have sinned. No effort on their part to say, we're going to stop the sin. Do you ever read that? No, we don't ever read that. Oh yeah, Lord, I've sinned. Then a few weeks later, they have to repeat the same statement. A few months later, they have to repeat the same statement. I've sinned, I've sinned, I've sinned. And the question comes up, where's the effort to stop the sin? See, that's what's lacking with these people. See, the crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Lamentations 5:16. We have sinned and committed iniquity, and we have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. This was Daniel when he was praying out there by the river. He was out there by the river and he was praying. And he starts off, of course, acknowledging the greatness of God in his prayer. But he jumps right in the fact, Lord, we have sinned. Our people have acted wickedly. Our fathers acted wickedly. Our grandfathers, our great-grandfathers, great-great, all the way up. We've departed from your ways. When people depart from God's ways, they're going to have problems. Oh Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, our fathers, because we have sinned against you. Everybody in the whole nation sinned against God because they didn't want anything to do with God. They wanted to serve the Baals. They wanted to serve the Asherah, the female deities. They wanted to have their fun, and they weren't interested in following the Lord. And then he carries them off to captivity. What'd you do that for, Lord? Why'd you make us suffer like that? I mean, they just didn't get it. In verse 11, yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as to not obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against him. Just goes to show, God means what he says. And he said it through Moses all those many years ago, and now it's coming to pass. And Daniel realizes, yeah, Moses even told us if we would not return to you, if we would not serve you, you would cause this to happen. And now it's happened. See, God keeps his promises. Daniel 9, and now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made yourself a name as it is this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. And that's true. Sometimes we just have to acknowledge, yes, we've done wrong. But then we also have to rectify the problem. It says, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. See, it's one thing to hide your sins. And there's a lot of times we can hide our sins from others. We do something wrong. Sometimes nobody sees us. We think we get away with it. And we hide it. But somehow, some way, God knows. There's no question about that. And we're still going to be struggling. We're not going to prosper. But yet when we come out and says, Lord, I've done a wicked thing. I'm sorry. And I will not do that anymore. Amen. Then the Lord is going to come back and show you mercy. But you try and hide it. Hide it from others. Hide it from your family. Hide it from your friends. Hide it from the church. You're not going to prosper. It's not going to benefit you anything. John tells us, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our sins have to be cleansed and taken away and removed. And when God does it, he doesn't remember those sins anymore. Just like David said, I have sinned against the Lord. And the Lord will put away our sin, and we will not die for that sin. We'll be cleansed on that day. If we confess our sins, he will forgive us our sins. But what we have to do is acknowledge our sins. We have to say, Lord, I have sinned. And then we need to determine for ourselves, we're not going to repeat that sin. Like I said, if you continue doing the same thing, you're going to sooner or later realize God's not going to put up with it. He's not going to take it. You know, Jesus said, how many times? 70 times 7 if your brother asks you for forgiveness. Later you're going to realize they really have no interest. There is no repentance. There is no remorse on their part. And they're just going to keep doing the same thing. And we know people like that. We have family like that. They just continue to do the same things. And sometimes their I'm sorry's really don't carry a lot of weight, right? Like when the little three-year-old, you know, apologize to your sister, I'm sorry. You know how that goes. We've seen that all the time, right? I'm sorry. Was that a sincere? No. I only said I'm sorry because mama said I'm sorry. And if they didn't say it, they're going to get a whooping. So they didn't want the whooping. These people must repent of their sins and ask forgiveness. Repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. Acts 8:22, as Peter told the sorcerer Simon. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's one of the things we offer as a congregation, is the fact that we can speak to each other because we're all in this together. We're all trying to help each other get to heaven. And we know if we confess our trespass, we'll pray for one another. And that's what we do. We pray for one another that we might be healed. And when more people know about our particular problem, guess what? They're going to be there helping us. So sometimes we have to let it be known. But not only should we repent, we must cease the sin in our living. It's not going to do any good to ask for forgiveness if your intention is just to keep doing what you've been doing. So unless our sins are forgiven, we cannot have a relationship with God. Just that plain and simple. Now, you can continue in sin and in your mind say, I've got a relationship with God. Well, that's just devil convincing you that you're okay. That's all it is. Because if you're practicing sin of any kind, you're not in a right relationship with God. And we are responsible to God for our own actions. We heard the prayer, I and my father's house have sinned. We, our ancestors have sinned. God's going to hold you responsible. He's not going to hold you responsible for what your daddy did or what your mama did or what your grandpa did. He's not going to hold you responsible for that. We're each going to be held accountable on our own actions. And so if we sin, the proper thing to do is to confess and ask for forgiveness. That's what we need to do. Now the question is, do you need to ask for forgiveness? Do you need to be cleansed of your sins? If you're not a Christian, you need to be baptized so that your sins can be washed away. And we can provide both of those for you. We can pray for you, we can baptize you if you express that concern. So we offer this very simple lesson, and hopefully you'll be able to learn from it and practice these things. And if you're subject to the invitation, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.